Welcome to Tactical Permaculture. I've worked on projects ranging from the poorest to richest clients, from inner cities to suburbs to farmlands to remote wilderness, from the eco-war front lines to celebrity backyards. In over 25 years of service to the earth and the community of life, I've learned that in the fight for sustainable survival, growing is half the battle. Please go to tacticalpermaculture.com to read my blog, watch my videos, view my photos, access web applications, and click on the join membership link to access exclusive features. March 19th, 2024, episode 118. Was just having a bit of a celebration for an accomplishment that wouldn't mean much to most people, but means something to me, which is I created what I would call a content management system in a very elegant manner. But I'll talk about that another time. It's worthy of discussion, but I'm going to save it for later. What is probably more relatable and applicable that is going to be the simple topic of this communique is just the sentiment that the biggest ocean is in the sky. I don't know if that's some emo song or something. If it is, then blessings be to all. Someone beat me to it. Hopefully it's not trademarked and I don't get sued, but I'm going to say that the biggest ocean is in the sky because there's a, I believe it's a Yale open courseware, or I get them confused. There's MIT and there's Yale, but both MIT and Yale have courses that they filmed online. And one of those two has provided a course on the atmosphere, and I digested that course, and it was profound to me when they talked about, the professor talked about how, in my own words, I'll paraphrase, but basically that the moisture that gets absorbed from the surface of the earth and that lives in the atmosphere. I've said it before, I quoted it before, I can't remember it at the moment, but there is a dramatic disproportionate ratio of water on the surface of the planet, including every body of water, every river, lake, ocean, pond, etc., glacier, all of it is a drop in the bucket compared to what is suspended in the atmosphere at all times. And that under certain circumstances falls to the earth in various different forms. But even then, it's something like thousands of years, every molecule of water that hits the ground, the average amount of time that it remains on, the surface of the planet Earth, in whatever place it may be, whether in the ocean or in a glacier or a pond or a raindrop, whatever it is, a bit of steam. And that water in one of us, is something, I can't remember what the ratio is at this moment, but it's ridiculous how long that molecule will be in the atmosphere suspended relative to how long it would be on the surface of the planet. The amount of moisture that lives in our atmosphere relative to the amount of moisture, water molecules that live on the earth for the temporary time that they're on the surface, it's very daunting to try to consider. The reason why I'm pontificating on this at the moment is that there's been an uncharacteristic of this site over the last 3 years that I've been on it, the amount of rain in the last few weeks. And to me, that's very promising. There's a something called the Fall of Civilizations. It's a show where they talk about, it's a very well-produced show, one of the best out there. And they talk about all, basically, they break it down, they break it all the way down, all the stuff Jared Diamond talks about in terms of the excesses that empires take, that where they tempt fate against nature and nature crushes them. And there were, one I listened to recently was on Egypt, where they talk about how these cycles, these, it's chaotic, but there are patterns and cycles within the chaos of wetter, rainier periods, where the crushing, merciless desert wasteland around the Nile River would be blessed with rains, rainy, wetter, cooler periods every so often, hundreds of times even, in the history of human habitation of that environment that we're aware of. Or I don't know what the scope of that metric really is, but it would turn into a grassland. What would have otherwise been deadly, uninhabitable desert wasteland just emergent property of fertility out of what appears to be the most sterile material on earth, which is desert sand, but actually it's filled with seeds waiting to be germinated by a blessed chapter in the earth's life history, where that big ocean in the sky, for whatever reasons, blesses the earth with moisture in the form of precipitation. And for some people, it's deadly to be swamped by floods and mass death occurs. And my heart goes out to them. I think that's a human design problem to solve with permaculture, because those forces are to be partnered with and aligned with for maximum mutual benefit of all living beings. We have intelligence. There's no reason for us to be doing what Bill Mollison said was falling into holes of our own making. I'm having this moment of sentimentality about the biggest ocean that is in the sky, because to me, the logical conclusion of starting with that premise is that we all live on beachfront property if the biggest ocean is the sky. And how you design, if I'm correct, which I believe I am, if that's correct, then we all have an opportunity to design ecological abundance around that fact. Because I live in one of the most arid places on earth right now. And I've successfully refilled all of my water tanks, and I'm about to add multiples of rainwater catchment capacity that's going to make it so next time it even rains a trickle, I'm going to have more water than I know what to do with. And I'm just a one-man ecosystem trying to survive and live a more rustic form of the American dream out on the frontier of survivalism. But if I can make it to this point and have a total paradigm shift for my entire life, even as a landscaper, even as a permaculture designer, where it was all about, oh, where do I connect the hose? Even if I had some consciousness of the source of the water coming out of that hose, it was always, I was spoiled. Now, I may be spoiled in certain ways, but it is not I'm not hydrologically spoiled. Or at least I'm normally not over the course of the last 3 years, but over the last few weeks, I have to admit it, I'm hydrologically spoiled because I have found a way to be in alignment with the biggest ocean that is in the sky. And it's a real, an art and a joy to, I'm not an expert. I mean, I just barely kind of skimmed that course. I put myself through it while I was suffering in the heat last year. But it stays with me. I'm haunted by those metrics. And when I see the clouds in the sky and the way they move and the fluid dynamics of the air and the moisture in the air and the different types of clouds, I don't know all the science of it, but I behold it as a cloud and atmosphere science, pretty illiterate fool, but I behold it because I know that certain smells and certain hues, there's bursage plants that I'm surrounded by, they seem to exude a certain scent when it's moist enough for the rain to fall, and I'm high enough elevation that I'm like in the clouds, kind of. So it's just something beautiful and magical, majestic to behold. Not everybody gets to do this. I appreciate that I'm able to do it, and I speak from a place of reverence, to be humbled by the elements. And it's been very interesting the last few weeks, because whereas a lot of the rainfall that I've known over the years that I've been here has been through very terrifying thunder and lightning storms and major torrential downfalls where I have to hide from it, interestingly, these last few weeks it's been this steady, intermittent but sometimes steady flow of just very like Northwest U.S. type of misty, soft rainfall, and it's very meditative. And then you wouldn't believe the verdant wild vegetation that I'm surrounded by now, that's such a blessing. It makes me think about what it must have felt like, those Egyptian folks who were in the early days of incipient agriculture trying to make a living out of the floods of the Nile. And sometimes it would be so blessed with rain that they wouldn't even be dependent as much, and that they would have so much abundance for a time, and then that would disappear. So I don't know if this is ever going to happen again in my lifetime. I don't know what the patterns will be moving forward, but all I know is that right now, my water supplies are topped off. There's green vegetation all around me, which is, I marvel at every day. And I just wonder, in the next few weeks when it all disappears until the monsoons, well, at least speaking about it the way I am now, I'll have something to reference. But as the seasons change and I have to adapt one to the next, each season is so demanding that I lose all memory of the previous and can barely conceive of it coming back. It's very humbling. And it's such a mild experience for me. These rains, while they pummeled and devastated so much of LA County, where I escaped from, I escaped from LA before it was flooded. And I don't know if I would, what I would be saying if I was still there. I don't know what strategies I would be putting in place. I know I've been my designs have failed in the rains of LA in the past, and I've got some horror stories of rookie permaculture design failures in the rains. But most of those failures had to do with just the context of being in an urban environment. But out here where I am now, factors of slope, factors of soil type being very loose sand, and I'm still waiting for the biblical rains that would actually put some streams back on these dry stream beds, so I could see how my swales are going to function, and whether or not I might have seasonal ponds. A boy can dream. Well, with that said, I hope we all find a way to enjoy that beachfront property that we all live on, whether we own it in the eyes of the state or not. We all live on the surface of the planet, and therefore we all live on beachfront property to the biggest ocean on our planet, which is the sky.